This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and now for something completely different because, we often talk about diet, exercise, supplements. But today our subject is politics, and no, I'm not going to belabor you with campaigning for Hillary or for Trump or for any of the other alternatives out there. They say that all politics are local. And our neighborhood, as people who believe in supplements and clean water, clean air, clean environment, clean food, our neighborhood is a neighborhood that bestraddles both political parties and covers the entire spectrum from people on the left to people on the right to people in the middle and all variations thereof. So today we're going to talk to the legislative director of an organization called the Alliance for Natural Health. ANH-USA.org is their website, and it's an organization I'm particularly fond of because I'm on the board of directors of that organization. It's a great organization because it upholds your access to supplements of your choice, to health practitioners of your choice. They cover a wide variety of issues that involve potential infringement on our freedom of choice in healthcare. And so today, particularly, I want to tackle a rather scurrilous article that some of you may have seen in Consumer Reports that suggests that supplements are dangerous, need to be highly regulated. So let's welcome our guest, Jonathan Posey. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. So, tell us a little bit about, you are the legislative director of ANH, and that means that you got to get involved with the political front. So tell us a little bit about what you do down there and what about ANH's mission.
Well, what I do is I help the Alliance for Natural Health to shape and project its public policy positions. And that entails lobbying Congress, reaching out to state legislators, but also working with the broad band of stakeholders that we might interact with on a day-to-day basis on a whole host of various issues.
So that involves literally going up to Washington. I know that you're based in Atlanta, where the headquarters of ANH is now. But so you'll be going to state houses, you'll be going to the Capitol, meeting with legislators, congresspeople. That's part of your mission statement.
Absolutely. It involves getting on a plane whenever we're needed to go lobby a member of Congress, their staff, bang on the doors of the FDA, meet with various groups like ANH, who have a shared mission, building our coalitions and, of course, meeting with all of our coalitions. But it does involve going to Washington quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And no bags of money that you are passed under the table, none of that shenanigans goes on.
Oh, no. We're a nonprofit. We would not, we would never spend bags of money on anything.
Right.
It's straight up educating members of Congress and their staff and other policymakers on why their position is wrong, or in most cases, just educating them in general. Congress is a bubble, and you have to pierce that bubble many, many times repetitively before they actually get it.
And this is actually, you know, I've done this. I've actually gone on some trips to Washington where I've walked the halls of Congress, met with legislators. We've expressed our priorities, our interests. And it's an interesting process. If you as a citizen of the United States have never participated in this, this is really where the rubber meets the road, because you may or may not have your viewpoint accepted, but they're there to listen. And especially when an organization like ANH represents a very large constituency. How many members are there nationwide of Alliance for Natural Health, citizen members, laypersons?
We have about 500,000.
Okay. So that's a voting block. You know, so we're not quite the National Rifle Association, right? You know, because when they threaten to abridge the Second Amendment, you know, you get literally millions of people up in arms. But when they threaten to overregulate supplements, it's a very vociferous constituency. They get pretty riled up at the prospect of not being able to buy the supplements that they depend on, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so
what we do is you push a button. That's what happens, Ron. People find out through our newsletter or one of our publications that supplements under attack. We give them a very easy way of getting their voice heard. We give them an action alert.
Mm-hmm.
And in responding to that action alert, it is a deluge upon Congress. And we're talking 40, 50, 60,000 emails, phone calls saying, or Congress or the FDA, stop messing with my supplements. And that is a powerful message.
Right. And it really is. I mean, a lot of people think that Congress is oblivious to the will of the people. But, you know, it's all about getting reelected. And there are strong voting blocs out there. You know, there's unions, there's, you know, all kinds of pressure organizations and, you know, environmental organizations and, you know, business organizations. You know, it's not just about the power of the purse. You know, you can buy politicians, okay, but when it comes down to individual voters, the potential to have your name besmirched because you get behind a bill that's unpopular among people who love to take supplements or who want to go to integrative doctors, that could cost you an election.
Absolutely. It can cost you an election. It can also cost you jobs. If in many states there are manufacturers of supplements, and people who depend on these supplements as part of their work, it can cost people their jobs, lost productivity.
Mm-hmm. And that's something you can, you know, say you're going to a congressperson from, you know, some of the hotbeds of supplement manufacturing would be, I would say, Utah, maybe New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
These are relatively small
Southwest.
States. I'm sorry?
A lot of the Southwest.
In the Southwest.
Carolina is one state, but Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, a lot of the out west, but a lot of the northeast as well, correct.
So you could do it. You could do an economic analysis, which I'm sure you're adept at, and say, hey, if this regulation comes into effect, your state is going to lose, let's hypothetically say, 6,000 jobs. These are voters. These are people who are maybe heads of household. There are ripple effects and ramifications for the entire state economy if they're driven out of business.
It goes broader than that. It's not just the manufacturers of the supplements. It's not just the people who depend on the supplements so that they can go about their day in a healthy manner. It is also the retail establishments that sell the supplements, the research facilities that are continuing to research the supplements, and also everyone else in the system that puts together everything that is needed to bring that supplement to the consumer.
Mm-hmm. So it's an integral part of the economy. I mean, not as powerful as, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, but it's a real robust industry in the United States. And do you have figures on what percentage of Americans take supplements? Probably that's part of your pitch.
Not off the top of my head, but I do know that a significant number of Americans take supplements. It's a multi-billion-dollar a year industry.
Yeah, I think it would have to be over 50% take some one or another supplement, you know, so the majority of Americans.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to the issue of Consumer Reports. You know, this is actually news from last month. Consumer Reports ran an article that was widely quoted. I mean, it was in a lot of papers because a lot of journalists, they don't do their homework anymore. They just say, okay, well, I read it in Consumer Reports, and I'm going to reprint it. Headline, supplements can make you sick. subtext of the headline. Dietary supplements are not regulated the same way as medications. This lack of oversight puts consumers' health at risk. And A&H published, you know, being on the board of A&H, of course, we have a rapid response team, a media response, team where when adverse stories appear in the media, we, you know, as experts are consulted by A&H and we weigh in on the usual defects in the stories. I was called upon to critique this story, but you know, let's take that premise. Dietary supplements are not regulated the same way as medications, and this lack of oversight puts consumers' health at risk. Are they creating a misapprehension?
Absolutely. The dietary supplements in America are regulated the exact same way as food. And that's really because dietary supplements have been around for centuries. They are safe. People have been taking them safely for centuries. Drugs are synthetic chemicals that are new to your body and can have very grave effects on your body. So it would follow that a drug would need to go through an approval process because it's completely new to your body and synthetic. Whereas dietary supplements, you know, find me one person who's died from vitamin D, from too much vitamin C, from too much, you know, B12. It's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, clearly. So, I got into the weeds on this article. You know, I read it and looked at it very carefully. And their whole premise is based on 15 supplements that they say are widely available and that can make you sick. And the supplements that they chose, it's very interesting here, the supplements that they chose, none of which I have used ever, and in addition, we've known for about 30 years that these are supplements that should be avoided. So to call this news, it's not news. Among the supplements that they list, aconite. Has anybody ever heard of aconite? Nobody uses aconite. Technically, there are some homeopathic remedies that contain aconite, but in homeopathy, there's almost nothing, no material there. So there's actually homeopathic belladonna, which is a poison. There's a homeopathic arsenic. There's homeopathic mercury. These are traditional homeopathic remedies where physics demonstrates that probably not even an actual atom or molecule in the entire product. So it's more of a something that's on a vibrational level, you know, whether you believe in the scientific rationale for homeopathy, that's besides the point. But in terms of toxicity, there can't be toxicity. They talk about chaparral. Well, chaparral is something that nobody uses anymore. They talk about colt's foot. They talk about comfrey. Well, people can apply comfrey externally to the skin, but these days people aren't drinking comfrey. We've known for decades that it causes liver damage. Germander, who uses that? Greater Solandine, I've almost never seen a product that contains that. They do, however...
I actually went to the store on these. I went down to a major health food and supplement retailer.
And you asked for these. You said, give me some of this. Right.
And I couldn't find them.
Okay.
I found green tea.
Okay.
And I guess if you take too much green tea powder, you know, anything like that. But
well, let me speak to that.
I couldn't find any of these.
Yeah, let me speak to that, because they say that green tea extract powder is dangerous. Now, I happen to be kind of an expert on that, or you know, really done extensive research on green tea. It's actually one of my favorite products, nutraceuticals. They claim that it's used for weight loss. Well, you know, that's sort of an ancillary use of green tea. It may accelerate metabolism somewhat. But its major use, and this is actually demonstrated in studies from among such places as Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins, is its anti-cancer effects. It's very demonstrable anti-cancer effects. And they claim that it elevates blood pressure and heart rate. Well, I guess if you drink a lot of caffeinated green tea, maybe gallons of it, you know, maybe, they say that it can cause liver damage and possibly death. I think there may have been some case reports of people who already have extensive liver problems who took, you know, very, very concentrated green tea extract pills and may have gotten worse and they blame it on the green tea instead of on their underlying illness. But I can't, you know, some of this is erroneous. They talk about kava being very dangerous, but actually I looked at studies that show that there was an issue with the way that kava was processed, and that kava properly processed doesn't cause problems. Although, you know, hey, if you're going to be operating heavy machinery or driving, you can get a little stoned from kava if you take a heck of a lot of it. They talk about pennyroyal oil. Now, pennyroyal oil is, in the old days, and this must be maybe in the 50s and 60s, they used to use it, you know, before the availability of abortion, you know, Roe v. Wade, women would be really, you know, up the creek if they wanted to get an abortion, and in desperation they would use coat hangers and terrible, you know, era of inability to have access to proper health care. And they would also drink pennyroyal tea as an abortificant to try and induce abortion. Of course, it's very toxic, and it is not a very good or efficient abortificant, but it can make you really sick. That's listed here, but no holistic practitioner would ever recommend pennyroyal tea. They list red yeast rice here, and it says that it can cause kidney and muscle problems, liver problems, however, red yeast rice is a weak statin. It's like a statin drug. Mm-hmm. And so if they say that you shouldn't take red yeast rice, it's kind of hypocritical, because that would mean you shouldn't take Lipitor, you shouldn't take Zocor, you shouldn't take Pravacol, you shouldn't take Crestor. All the drugs out there can cause these very self-same side effects. And in my experience, red yeast rice is so weak that it rarely causes these types of problems. So, yeah, maybe a caution flag on that. Yohimbe, an old-fashioned, purports to be an aphrodisiac, but not a very good one. And, again, one of those things that's really fallen into disrepute. Now, in analyzing this article, I said, well, they consulted experts. Well, I looked at the experts. Every single one of these experts is a notorious supplement foe. They recruited people who are just on one side of the spectrum of supplement analysis. And we didn't get a call. A&H, did they reach out to A&H for a quote or, you know, a perspective
not
on this?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. And that's another part of it, is where did they find these supplements? They had to have gone very deep to find and said, please, give us a list of anything that could potentially be harmful. And so a list came forth that is so out of the realm of not only what a practitioner would prescribe, but what the average person might find in the store. It doesn't make any sense. It's a hatchet job.
Yeah, it is precisely a hatchet job. And, hey, you know, I'm available. You want to do a story that's balanced on supplements. I mean, even if it's a negative story. Look, for example, you know, you see in real journalism, you have a story in, say, the New York Times that says Donald Trump stinks, okay? But then usually they will insert even a small quote from a defender of Donald Trump, because that's journalism 101. I learned this in junior high school. You know, when I was on the junior high school paper, is that you always get an opposing view, you know, even if you have your own. And conversely, like maybe a more conservative Republican paper like the Wall Street Journal, Hillary stinks. But, you know, they'll get a quote from the Hillary camp saying, well, no, Hillary's great, just to balance the story. Here, it's all about harms, all about negativity. So, you know, we're not exactly enamored of the way that Consumer Reports did this analysis. Hey, you know, maybe if you want to buy a washing machine or a vacuum cleaner, Consumer Reports is a place to go, but they are so not credible when it comes to looking at supplements, according to the way I see it.
And it's interesting why did this come up in the first place?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we seeing an article in Consumer Reports? It's, at A&H, we believe that the pharmaceutical industry wants to corner the market on dietary supplements. They don't want the consumer to have healthy, natural dietary supplements. They want to feed them these mass-produced overseas multivitamins that only they can control.
Mm-hmm.
And so we believe attempts like this, just like what the federal government is doing to try to crush dietary supplements, is big pharma coming after your dietary supplements on the backs of big pharma, you know, on the backs of the government. So it's mind-boggling.
And let's develop that, that what seems at first to be a conspiracy theory, it actually makes a lot of sense because, as we'll discuss in part two, we divide these podcasts into two parts, there is a move afoot to treat supplements the way that drugs are treated. I mean, on some levels, that kind of makes sense. You know, we want to safeguard the public. You know, drugs have to be extensively vetted and checked for safety before they're unleashed on the unsuspecting public. And so they want to apply the same standards to supplements. But the net result of that would be that most small innovative companies, these nimble companies that come up with supplement innovation, would be driven out of business because simply the cost of going through that drug approval process, it's literally hundreds of millions of dollars for each new drug that's introduced. The drug companies are in a position to get those approvals. They already have people in place from the revolving door of the FDA, you know, former FDA employees working on their behalf to lobby for approval of drugs. They have a whole fleet of scientists and schmoozers and lawyers and arrangers who can get drugs approved. It's part of their business model. And so they would eagerly drive small supplement companies out of business, maybe reduce the diversity of supplements, maybe narrow it down to a couple of dozen instead of many thousands, and you'd basically get a bunch of watered-down supplements made by, you know, big pharma.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy. In my experience, I have discovered that where the pharmaceutical industry thinks they can make a penny, they'll spend $1 million to crush a competitor just to make that penny. And I think this is a prime example of it.
Indeed. So, on the other hand, there does seem to be kind of a cartel of the big pharma, along with well-meaning, perhaps, legislators, or who also may be well-oiled by the pharmaceutical companies. You know, their big war chest comes from their pharmaceutical contributors, along with the compliant media. The media, you know, eager for ready-made stories, lurid stories, often aids and abets this legislative agenda and a monopolistic agenda by big pharma. And then you also have the executive branch. You know, with the they are always looking to regulate more. I mean, that's sort of the natural history of most agencies. They don't want to shrink; they want to grow.
Absolutely, and you see what most Americans don't realize, that the FDA receives a significant amount of its funding from what are called drug user fees.
I think they call that pay-to-play. That's a pay-to-play operation.
Absolutely. Most of these fees are from new drug applications and generic drug applications. So FDA depends on a sizable portion of its budget from the pharmaceutical industry. So when the pharmaceutical industry comes to FDA and says, look, guys, you got way too many supplements on the market. They are, you know, they're very dangerous to people. We, the pharmaceutical industry, who you know and love and depend on and have trusted for, you know, decades, we have the facilities to make these drugs, or excuse me, supplements better. We have the ability to provide them consumers in a safer way. It's time to strictly regulate these and let us take over. And of course, the FDA, as always, rolls over.
Indeed. And so, which brings us to our action alert, and we're going to carry this over to a part two of today's discussion. A&H has issued an action alert because, in the wake of this Consumer Reports article, and you know, I think to some extent, articles like this prepare the ground for, legislative, initiatives and new caveats that are being issued by federal agencies. There's an action alert that will tell you about impending regulations that will literally cripple the supplement industry. So it's important for you to listen, get involved, push back against this potential infringement on our freedom of choice. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with the legislative director of the Alliance for Natural Health, Jonathan Posey. And this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We'll be right back.